Okay, so we are up to Simon Reish Pei Tess. Simon Reish Pei Tess is not so Lamaisa, but there is a principle that we've kind of been going back and forth on that I just want to bring out, and I'm somewhat stuck on this, somewhat befuddled as to what is going on here. So Simon Reish Tzadi it's interesting that it becomes its own Simon. I mean, the Torah is not very long, the Beis Yosef isn't very long. Usually it's a very thick topic that when you have a short Simon, it might be something very big and whatever. But anyway, and it could be stuck in someplace else. But anyways, it's a following halacha that the Torah tells us, a Sefer Torah Otfilin Shabalu, Ein osin mehem mezuzah, v'lo kosfin osa al gilyonim shel sefer Torah. They have a sefer Torah or a pair of tefillin that was that started like decaying or I don't know a great word for it. It started not being usable anyway and anymore as a sefer Torah. So what?
Deteriorating.
Thank you. Good word. So one should not. You can't make a mezuzah out of it. V'lo kosfin osa al gilyonim shel sefer Torah. Nor should you write a mezuzah on the gilyonim of a sefer Torah, meaning on the margins of a sefer Torah. So to take the parchments of a sefer Torah and to cut off the side and use that for a mezuzah, meaning it was already set aside a sefer Torah and written on as such. So that's, you're not allowed to do that. Says the Torah, l'fisha ein moridin mikedusha chamura l'kedusha kalak. You're not permitted to demote from a more strict kedusha, from a higher level of kedusha to a lower level of kedusha. Okay, so that is basically a brisa. That's a gemara in Maseches Menachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. In fact, I think that might be what introduces us to the section, to the halachos of mezuzah in that section, and the Rambam. So that's the halacha. There's not much of a dispute on that. Now, I'm just curious, what is, when it says Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala, why is that? What do we assume is the Kedusha Chamura, and what is the Kedusha Kala? I mean, what is, anybody know? I don't have a great answer, it's just sort of like an assumption. But what do you think it means when it goes from a Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala? Right, so why is one considered to be a higher level of Kedusha than the other? Right. That's what I would think. But we'll see. It's a little bit of a question as to where tefillin falls in here. I'm looking at the wrong masechta. That's why the Gemara is not coming up. It's very unclear. What did you say?
Are you reading from?
So I was just reading from on page one of the source sheet from the Torah and then the Beis Yosef. We went from page one to page two and then back to page one just to see what the Beis Yosef had. And now I'm just quickly taking a look in the Gemara itself to see if the Gemara makes a comment or Rashi makes a comment as to what is considered the higher level of Kedusha. And I don't see it here. Beis Amud Aleph. Reish Tzadi, it's the base. Tzivir Torah Shabalu, Vitfilin Shabalu, Enos Mihem Mezuzah, Fish Emarid, and Mikedusha Chamura. Rashi doesn't seem to make a comment on this at all. Now, another thing that the Gemara is phrased a little bit in a strange way, right? There's a little bit of a nuance there, and that is the Gemara says if you have a Sefer Torah Shabalu or mezuzahs that were balu, you can't make a mezuzah from them. So what is missing there? What about making a pair of tefillin out of a Sefer Torah? So that's not in the Gemara there, and we'll see shortly. The Nodeb Yehuda makes a major point of that. But while we're on the page here, let's take a look here at the Darkei Moshe. So we've had in the past. Multiple times, it came up in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the issue, this Taz, which we'll get to, but the Taz, it says that if it's a, that if it's going to be thrown away anyways, so then perhaps you could demote its level of Kedusha, right? So we had that Taz, a little bit of a dispute, and that seems to be what we assume. So if we have an Aron Kodesh, and it's otherwise going to be put into Geniza, it's going to be buried someplace, it's not going to be used anymore, so better that it be used as a Svarim shelves, you could turn into bookshelves, rather than to completely get rid of it. So we had that Taz. It's a little bit questionable, that Taz is a little bit questionable, as we'll see. But I think that Taz is really presented here in the Darkei Moshe beforehand, meaning it's found in the Rishonim. So take a look here in the Darkei Moshe Aleph, where he says, Kasav Maram Padua, Simon Pei Dalad, right, Al Sefer Torah, Im Tisyai Shalotucha Limtzul Shum Tikun. If you give up on it to the point that you're not going to be able to fix it, Dofen Acher, Ki Im, except for Lachto Chagilyonos Latakimbo, except for to cut out the Gilyonos to fix it. As vadai hayanira deshari. So then it should be mutter. Kivan shehi biltim nitukenesi omedes leganiza. Because without fixing it, it's going to go to the geniza. Imkain pshita yosir tov. So better than it being put in the geniza is hu lachto chagilyonos will takin a sefer torah velignos mutter chagilyonos miasher yignos kol a sefer. Right. So it's better to just to keep the gilyonos rather than to throw out everything. V'doma lahadarmin and Sefer Torah shabale in osu b'men mezuzah, right? Similar to what we said, that Sefer Torah that deteriorates, so you shouldn't make a mezuzah from it. If you should aim moridim, but you shouldn't bring it down from a higher level to a lower level. Ha'im moridim osin, but if it's brought down, so then you could. Meaning if it's anyways going to be brought down in levels of Kedusha, meaning it's now going to be nothing, it's going to be put into the ground, so then it sounds like it should be mutter to be able to do. So, However, if you're able to fix it, meaning you'll be able to maybe go to the Rav Lazarovsky Sefer Torah cemetery and be able to find the piece that you need, so then, okay, then it's not considered a Sefer Torah Shabbalah. It's a Sefer Torah that's in need of repair. But if it is a Sefer Torah Shabbalah, it's really deteriorated to the point that it's not going to be able to be used as a Sefer Torah anymore, so it sounds like you should be able to use the Gvilin, or you should be able to use the outside to make it into a Sefer Torah. However, if you go to the next page of the tour, in the Darkei Moshe on the right column, Umlam Betshuvas Bar Sheshes, right, it's right in the middle there, line 4, Umlam Betshuvas Bar Sheshes, Simon Lama Beis, Kasav, Afal Pisha Sefer Torah Hi Kerua, Vitzricha Geniza, Aser Likoch Migil Yonos. So he quotes from this, the Tshuvas Bar Sheshes, which I believe is the Rashbash, right? He says that even though if the Sefer Torah is torn and it requires Geniza, you're still not allowed to take from the Gilyonos, Zichtav Alei Mezuzah, Kol Shekein Ledavik Ba'akra, Sefer Torah, Da'az Einu Mishamish Rak Maisa Devek Bi'alma. And certainly not to glue things together. I'm not sure what that means, because that's just sticking things together and not okay. I'm not sure what he's referring to there. But he says, "V'efshar lomar de'bi'ef shar l'takna afari vash modeshari." But if it's really impossible to fix, says the Darkei Moshe, then maybe it would be mutter. So it sounds like from this Darkei Moshe that he seems to be saying what the Taz said, that we say, yeah, malin b'kodesh v'lo moridin, that we don't bring things down in levels of Kedusha, but that's only if it's going to stay at a level of Kedusha. But if you're going to bury it in the ground, so then you might as well get whatever use out of it that you otherwise could. I think that's what he's saying here. But it's a little odd that no one else seems to assume that way. So if we take a look in... What? It would be a major kula, right? So I mean, the Taz says it with regards to other things. Now, truth is, it's not so lemaisa. I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about using the gvilim, the sides of the parchment to turn mezuzah, to turn into mezuzahs. I don't know.
Yeah, but what about the same concept as with an aron kodesh?
Right. No. So that's accepted. That's more accepted. So we'll get to that soon. But let's just before we get. We could see that. Go to page 4, I think, in the source sheet here. What's page 4? Or 5? There we go.
Page 5 is...
That's a page from the Mishnah Berurah?
Yes.
Okay.
The one with 84 in the corner?
What?
The one that says 84?
Yeah. Yes, yes, page 84. So this is that Mishnah Berurah. The truth is it's on Lamed Aleph, but yeah, most of it is is on the page before, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes this idea. We've seen this Mishnah Berurah already, but just to see where I'm coming from, so you see the underlying part in the middle. He says, V'kedushas Aron hu dafka kishe osin oso shahaya kavua liolam. V'yaz afilu nisiyayshin ha'aron, v'yasu acher afilu hachi ein lishtamesh berishon lohoridu mikedushaso. That even if you make a new Aron, you shouldn't bring the new one down. Aval im osin oso lizman ad sheyarchiv Hashem lasos Aron HaKodesh k'roi la'achar she'osa Aron Hasheni nispatza kedusha Aron Rishon. He says, but if you only made the first one because you were waiting for the second, for the real one to be done, so then the first one doesn't really have a high level of kedusha, and then you could bring it down. This is, by the way, a COVID thing. In one of the Rav Shechter Tshuvos, he wrote that really, if a Sefer Torah is going to be kept in someone's house, it really should be kept in an Aron in some way. So it's not just appropriate for it to be laying out and wrapped up, it really should be kept in an Aron. So people made these these Arons, and then, you know, then they brought the Sefer Torah back to shul. So what do you do with all these Arons? So it seems like, plus it was only temporary in nature, one would have the right to be makel on it. One second. Did I not? Right. Well, Aniach. Did I not put in the right taz here? One second. Chaf Gimel. Okay. Yeah, the Taz itself is not even mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. The Taz is only mentioned at the bottom in the Shar HaTzion, in the colored part. That Taz, which he says here is Mekel about using Arons, but the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure about. So he says here on the bottom, he says velo atak. So that, but that is the Taz in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Taz says that it is mutter to take something that otherwise would be thrown out and use it for a lower level of kedusha. So in the Shar HaTzion, the part that I have underlined here, he says velo atakti mashakasav ataz. I don't know where the taz got this. Deheicha de'ev shar lishtamish bo kedusha rishona tov yoser lahorido lekedusha kala. He says, I don't know where the Taz got this from, that where you're not going to be able to use it for a higher level of Kedusha, it's better to bring it down to a lower level of Kedusha, Misha Yignas, rather than to put it in Geniza, Legamre, the Bechor Shor Cholik Alav, the Gamba Prima Gadim Heshiv Alav, Ayin Shaman. And plus the Bechor Shor raises a question, and the Prima Gadim answers it. So Mishnah Berurah is clearly not thrilled with that Taz. What is the question of the Bechor Shor, and what is the answer of the Prima Gadim? So the Bechor Shor quotes a Gemara in Neseches Yuma, where the Gemara there says that following they used the big day kahuna.
Yeah, to clean up the blood, right?
I think as a fire in the for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Right, and I think he uses that. He says, "Why couldn't they use it as regular begadim for other kohanim?" Meaning the Kohen Gadol's Yom Kippur begadim matched the regular Kohen's regular begadim. So we shouldn't take something from a higher level of kedusha and bring it to a lower level of kedusha. So the Horsher says, "Aha! Right? What's the problem? Meaning, otherwise it's going to be thrown away or it's going to be burnt as part of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So you see from here that even though it's going to otherwise be put aside, it's going to otherwise be put into Geniza, you're still not allowed to use it for a lower level of Kedusha. To which I think the Prima Gadim's answer to that is, which the Shar HaTzion is quoting, it says, that's only when you're talking about Iker Kedusha. That's only when you're talking about the Kedusha itself. But when you're talking about Tashmishe Kedusha, meaning an Aron is not Kedusha itself, an Aron is Kodesh, plus it's holding a Sefer Torah inside of it. So that's Tashmishe Kedusha, that's not Kedusha. So therefore, says the Prima Gadim, that when it's Kedusha itself, maybe that would have to be thrown away, rather put into Geniza, rather than used for a lower level of Kedusha. But maybe the Aron, you could do. The problem with that is this sugya. right? Because here we're saying, this is talking about the Sefer Torah itself, it's sounding like, right? It's talking about using the Gvilim of the Sefer Torah, and it seems to be that that's what the Darkei Moshe is saying to do. And somehow it doesn't get quoted, and it's not really brought down that way. Now it is discussed, with that understanding, that was the lens that I was looking at the Shulchan Aruch today. So let's take a look at what he says here. It says the Shulchan Aruch, I think we're on page 3. In the sources, right? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Sefer Torah or Tefillin Shabalu. If you have a Sefer Torah or Tefillin that deteriorated, Ein Osin Mehem Mezuzah. You shouldn't make a mezuzah from it. Ve'ein Kosfin Osa Al Glil Yone Sefer Torah Lefisha Ein Moridim Mekdusha Chamur LeKedusha Kala. And you shouldn't write on the in the margins of a Sefer Torah, because you shouldn't bring it down from a higher level of Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. Meaning it sounds like it was a Sefer Torah, and now it's going to be mezuzahs. Aval, says the Ramah, mutter letakin a Sefer Torah atzma im gilyono seha im eivshar letakna beinyan acher, by a tzarech legonza belav hachi. He says, but it would be mutter to fix the Sefer Torah itself with its gilyonos, if it's not possible to fix it in another way, and you would have to put it away. And yet, otherwise, you would have to put in the Geniza. Volume Efshar, Litakna, Be'inyan Acher, Aval Pisha Sefer Torah, Magvilin, Verotza, Ledabik Aleha, Klafim, Lo Yachto Chagilyonos, Litakana, Dein Isser, Litakana, Mibuchutz, Beklaf, Aval Pisha Sefer Torah, Magvilin. But he says that if it's possible to fix, even if it means that you're going to have to get like a new panel from the Sefer Torah, that's okay, you should go ahead and fix it. You shouldn't bring it down with its level of Kedusha. But again, what does it sound like? It sounds like me'ikar din, it's mutter. It sounds like if it absolutely is not going to be used anymore, it sounds like it would be mutter to use on a lower level of Kedusha. And somehow this doesn't get invoked. I don't know why. I can't understand how this is different than the case with the Tashmishi Kedusha that's discussed in Or HaChaim. In fact, it seems to be alluded to in the Piskei Tshuva here on the bottom here. So the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom, Sefer Torah o Tefillin Shabalu. So says the Piskei Tshuva here, I am a Tshuva's Chacham Sofer, Sherav Echad Ratzel Lechalik, the Dafka Sefer Torah Shabala, Shekvar Haya Kodesh, Shuv Lo Paka Kedushaso. Masha'enkein Chaser V'yeser, Bidchilas Ksivasa, Lo Nachis Alav Kedusha Sefer Torah Me'olam. So Chacham Sofer here suggests the following. He says, maybe there's differences as to why a Sefer Torah would be headed to Geniza, or what it means that it's not going to be able to be fixed. He says, one possibility is that the Sefer Torah just deteriorated, like the term that we've been using, that it was a really nice Sefer Torah, and then, you know, it was around, it put in its decades of service, and now it's just not repairable anymore. So Sam Sofer says, there was a Rav who said, that's one issue. I mean, that's where maybe you would not be able to use any pieces of it for anything else. But what about a Sefer Torah where it was in use for 20, 30 years, and lo and behold, you find a psul in it, like a real psul, the word is wrong, or there's an extra word in, or something like that, right? And it's obviously been there the entire time. So suggests this person that the Chacham Sofer is quoting, he says, well, guess what? It never had Kedusha Sefer Torah to begin with, right? It may have looked like a Sefer Torah, it may have been handled, it may have been used plenty of times, but, you know, it was the Maftir Sefer Torah, it was the Rosh Chodesh Sefer Torah, right? So it never made it to Parshas Balak or something, right? So it never noticed that there was a problem there. So suggests this Rav that maybe that would never actually is considered to have attained real Kedushas Sefer Torah. He says, V'chein ma'ashakasav haramah, le'el simen reish pei beiz, the mutter le'machro v'chein v'lachein mutter gamkein la'asos yimenu mezuzah. Maybe you should be able to make a mezuzah out of that. V'u'adin le'katzeitz gilyonus le'tikin Sefer Torah shalim, v'huzal kasav ze'enu dome, de'naktu shabala l'rabusa ka'amar, afilu shabala v'lo chazi od le'mitzvaso klal. Afilu lilmo botinokos umikol shekin kashu rak chaser v'yasid efshal etakna likrobo betzibar o lilmo bo pshita she'ein osu mimenu mezuzah. He says, in this case, says the Chassam Sofer, this is different. Meaning here, it's not just about how it was used, it's also about how it was made. I mean, this was made to be used as a Sefer Torah. So it's one thing, a Sefer Torah that's gone through its use, and now you know, can you save it at all? But here, he says this could easily be fixed. Yeah, it's true, it has an extra word, or it's missing a word, or something like that. But it could easily be fixed to be a Sefer Torah. So that being the case, that would be more chamor, that would be more strict than the possibility of using a Sefer Torah that is deteriorating. Okay. Okay, and then we talked that was Aleph Beis. He makes an allusion. I'm not sure what he's alluding to there. And then we get to Gimel. So Gimel says, we mentioned before this issue of, is this only applicable to Sifrei Torah? What about Tefillin? Tefillin seems to be like no man's land, but right, it goes straight from Sefer Torah to Tefillin to Mezuzah, but doesn't talk about Sefer Torah to Tefillin. So says here the. So it could just be because they're different sizes, meaning it's just not going to work. But anyways, the Piskei Tshuva here quotes a note to Yehudi. Says, "I am the Sefer Eliyahu Rabba Baruch Chaim La'am Beisiv Katasai Shapasuk Sheim Kvar Hitchil Lichtov Al Hayiria Eze Shuros Misefer Torah V'Nifsal B'Shem She'Aser Lichtov Al Anosar Tefillin Mezuzos Tahavi Kamot Sarbei V'Azmenei Gam Dami Ktsasim Hashakasav Kan She'Ein Kosim Mezuzos Al Dinan Sefer Torah Ayin Sham Ayin Sham." Okay, so the first thing he says, quoting from the Eliyahu Rabba, that he says that if it was already written on for a certain thing, so you're not allowed to change it already at that time, even if it was never completed. I mean, already at that point, it's considered to have that kedusha. And then he says "V'ayin b'shas v'chuvus no de Yehuda yoredaya simin kufayin dalat shaharich baze v'hala dehamora baze lahakel lichtov b'yeser haklaf tefillin lo mishtavish." About lichtov lo mezuzah ein lahakel. He says to be makel and write tefillin from it, he's not going to argue on. But to write a mezuzah, that you're not allowed to be makel on. So that's the Tshuva Nod Behuda that I put in here, I think page 6 or so. Maybe we won't go through it, because I do want to cover the checking thing. So we're getting a little late. But there, the Nod Behuda points out that the Gemara never makes a comment about tefillin, and couple, like, it seems to sometimes equate tefillin and a Sefer Torah, perhaps to consider the two of them on the same level of Kedusha, on the same level of sanctity. Now, I don't know what to do with that. Meaning, Nod Behuda, about having a pair of tefillin in the bedroom. So he says maybe a Sefer Torah should be considered the same as tefillin in the bed, like, you know, in terms of the levels of Kedusha, in terms of how you need to protect it and things like that. And he says we don't see anywhere, I think Nod Behuda's comments that he couldn't find any clear distinction between Kedusha that is due a Sefer Torah and Kedusha that is due to tefillin. So he says it could be that maybe that could be relied on to take a Sefer Torah Shabalu and take parts of it for the purpose of making tefillin. But mezuzah, or from tefillin to mezuzah, so that he says is not okay. Okay.
Well, tefillin don't even have margins, do they?
What?
The tefillin don't have much of a margin.
Tefillin?
Right.
What do you mean?
You were saying to go from tefillin to mezuzah, the cloth in a tefillin is very tiny.
That's only because that's the way it's written. I mean,
tefillin is a big margin usually, but the tefillin.
Right, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, my nephew sent me a picture a little while back of a Sefer Torah. Like a column from a Sefer Torah, and I was like, okay, why is this interesting? Like, why are you sending this to me? And then he sent me the same picture with, like, his hand next to it. And it was pretty much an entire column of a Sefer Torah about the size, you know, 10 inches tall or so. You could write it smaller. I'm not sure. Like, if you want to talk about the Lemaisa, when would this actually come up? I think it would come up. It's less likely it would come up with the writing itself, and more likely it would come up with using the side, using the galionos, using the margins of it. I mean, you could then cut a margin off a Sefer Torah and then use that for writing a pair of tefillin. I mean, I could see that you know, being more likely, at least. I don't know. I mean, nowadays, you know, thank God we can get what we need. But I could hear a possibility of when that would come up. I think that's actually what the tshuva is about. The Nodiv Yehuda, if you go to, let's see, maybe let's take a look then quickly on page 5 there. Page 6.
If there was a tear in the margins, or if a rodent that nibbled at the bottom of the Sefer Torah, wouldn't it add to the hidur of the Sefer Torah to just cut off and make a nice straight, you know, as long as you're...
What would you do? I don't know, but when we learned Hilchos Sefer Torah, we pointed out that there are like specific measurements that you really need for the margins, or that you should ideally have for the margins. So what's considered better? Is it considered better to have it jagged and not look so pretty, but be, you know, the most halakhically correct, or does beauty come into account? So that's like a regular question when it comes to Hilchos Stam. I mean, are we strictly halachists, or is there a sort of the subjective eye of the user? Does that play a role? I'll just the shaila here. The previous tshuva is the following, that I got your letter, and you ask about a Sefer Torah that was, Sam, what's the word?
Worn out.
That was wearing out, right?
Deteriorating,
thank you. Shabala kula, v'nirkavu ha-yirios legamri, rak shtayim v'shalosh yirios. And there were just two or three panels left. Nisharu shalo nirkavu, that weren't worn out, deteriorated. Right? V'nishar ha-klaf, and the klaf was still there. Right? Avala osios balu legamri, but the letters were all gone. V'lo nishar mehem shum roshem. There's not, you can't even see the letters, you can't even see the etching of the letters at all. Imutter lichtov Megillas Esther al Yerios Elu. Could you use those panels to write a Megillas Esther? That was the question that came up. Now, does that actually happen today, that you would actually totally lose the letters entirely? I don't know. That's a little hard. Anyways, the Rabbi Yehuda Paskin that would be usser. What?
What about all the lines? The scribe lines.
So, okay, either they're there or you need to rewrite them. You would rescore it. What do you mean? You could. What's the?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's Simon Reish Sadi, the issue of kavod for the Sefer Torah versus the mezuzah. Okay. So Reish Sadi Aleph is one of the most common issues that come up that everybody's wondering about, the issue of checking your mezuzah. So the tour. So it is the tour here quotes the Gemara. The Gemara. If we go back to the tour on Reish. Reish Sadi Aleph, right? So the Torah says, Mezuzas Yachid Nivdekes Pamayim B'Sheva Shanim, that a individual mezuzah needs to be checked twice every 7 years, V'Shel Rabim Pamim B'Yovel, and if it's a publicly owned mezuzah, so then it needs to be multiple times in a, over 50 years, meaning two times every 50 years. That's from the Gemara itself. If you take a look, the Beis Yosef quotes part of the Gemara. The Beis Yosef, Brisa Parakama de Yuma, actually, sorry, Upeirish Rashi, Shel Rabim, what is Rabim? Pamayim Biyovel, the whole Dover Shehu Shel Rabim, Ein Lahatriach Alav Harbe, that we don't want to drive people crazy, Shim Tatriach, Yehe Kol Echad Omer Yasu Chaver, but if you push them too hard, so everybody will say, my friend will do it. So if you only do it twice every 50 years, so then you shouldn't have a problem finding somebody to be able to do it. I never quite understood the psychology of this, but whatever. That is what Rashi says, and that is the halacha. I mean, generally, if you say it only has to be done twice every 50 years, it's going to end up getting done never, right? anyways, that is what the Gemara says. Now, what is the purpose of this checking? So I will send you to the Gemara itself. I actually put the page on. The Gemara itself in Maseches Yuma, what must be on page 8 or so, 7? Page 7. So this, the Gemara itself is, where is it? In the middle there someplace. It's really asked as part of a question. Where was the Gemara? There. It's right in the middle of the page where the last word on the line is mezuzah with a little dalet next to it. Right, the Tanya mezuzos yachin nevdeches pamim b'shavu v'shal rabim pamim b'yovel. And Rabbi Yehuda Meisbar, it tells a story about it. So why is that? So I underline the Rashi. Why are you? What are you checking for? So Rashi here, Rashi, and I'm surprised this isn't quoted in the Beis Yosef. Rashi says shemanirkava onignava, that lest it be deteriorated or lest it be stolen or lest it be missing. I don't know if it has to say that it's stolen, but missing, right? That you have to check to make sure that it didn't deteriorate and that it wasn't stolen. Now, how much of a mezuzah do you need to check in order to make sure that it wasn't stolen? Right? Nothing. I mean, you just have to check that it's there. Right? That's all it means. What about deteriorating? So it sounds like Rashi means that it didn't, like, fall apart. And I've seen mezuzahs that have fallen apart. That's what you need to do. But beyond that, so Rashi seems to be pretty makil on this. So now we take a look here in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Page, what, 4, I think? Page 4. Right?
Page 4,
okay. So Shulchan Aruch here says, Mezuzos yachin nivdekes pamim b'sheva shanim, v'shel rabim pamim b'yovel. That an individual mezuzah you check twice every 7 years, and a rabim mezuzah, a public mezuzah, it would be several times in a yovel. Okay. Right, and the Shach here quotes the idea of Rashi that puts anything that's public, you shouldn't bother anybody too much, lest everybody just say, oh, let somebody else take care of it. I'm not sure how, again, extending it really makes that big, changes that, but fine. If we go to the Piskei Tshuva now, Reish Tzadi Aleph. So, first one he says, Kasav, I'm not sure, Beis Reish Yud, Mishiesh lo harbi mezuzos kavuan uvedek shalosh mehen umatzen ksheros afilu hachi tzarech livdo kol shar mezuzos. He says, well, maybe all you need to do is check a few of them. And if once you check a few of them, let's check three of them, so maybe they should have a chazaka that they're okay. So he says, nope, nothing doing. That's not going to work, right? Kol shar mezuzos shekavu bo beperek b'maymen shaloshten b'kashrus delo kol makam l'shavos. He says, well, not all of the locations are the same. And, you know, there could be different factors in each place, and therefore you really need to check all of the mezuzahs. Okay, fine. Beis, Nivdekes, Kasa b'sefer Chamudi Daniel, Ksav Yad, right? The Chamudi Daniel we've come across a few times in the Hilchos Mezuzah. So, Misha Kasha Alav Lahotzi HaMezuzah Ulevadka, that if somebody, it's hard for him to take the mezuzah down to check it, and he wants to put, he just says, you know what, instead of me checking the mezuzah that's up there already, I'll just put up another one that I know is good. And he can't get the old one off. So, usher, that's not allowed. Mishum bal tosef, right? You're not allowed to have two mezuzahs on a doorpost. That's not okay. Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this, where he, where it's really this chamudid, he quotes this chamudid Daniel, where, like, sometimes, especially also in institutions, they might paint over something many, 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 many times, and you see, like, the bump there, right? I think Jerry Seinfeld talks about painting in his apartment, that, oh, they're painting my apartment again. I feel like my apartment keeps getting smaller. He says, pretty soon, I'm just going to find a bump in the wall, and that's what I'll know to plug in. So if it's a bump in the wall, you'll know that you should plug in there. And when it's a bump on the door, you know that that's where a mezuzah was once. So Rav Moshe says, so can I just leave that there and put up another mezuzah? So Rav Moshe says, no. He quotes his Chamudi Daniel, that's Baal Tosef. You can't just have two mezuzahs on a doorway because that's easier. Fine. And he says also, he adds in, Vayizar, by the way, be careful when you take the mezuzahs out not to passle them. Yes, that is a word to the wise. That does happen. Okay, Gimel is the key, though. But Gimel, he says, Ayin b'tshuvas ksam sofer simen resh pei beis. First, where he says, Bayis shel Gimel shutfim sheyesh bo yoser me arbos bayim mezuzos hakavuim bepitzime eitz. He says there is this, it sounds like some kind of apartment building, where there's over 40 mezuzos there. Because of the pasha de bay bedika kishel yachid. So the question is, right, is that considered rabin mezuzos, or is that considered yachid mezuzos? Right, if you have the mezuzah going into an apartment building, is that a rabin mezuzah, or is that a yachid mezuzah? So he says, no, that's a yachid mezuzah, which means it's got to be on the yachid schedule. And he says that it requires, right, and when we talk about rabin, we're talking about shari ir umedina. I mean, we're talking about the gates to a city or to a country, like we discussed in the past, or to a shul, I guess. But if it's an individually owned apartment building, so he says that would still be on private the private rotation. But then he says, and this is the key, v'chasavod, the inyan habedika lo bayi mumcha habaki. He says, by the way, you don't need to be an expert to do the check. You don't have to be an expert be chaseros v'yaseros. That must be what the Beis Chaf Vav Yud stands for. Be chaseros v'yaseros. You don't necessarily have to be an expert and know exactly what, you know, what needs extra vavs and what doesn't, right? Ela kol adam yachol levadkan. Everybody could check a mezuzah. You just have to know Hebrew. Aval kol panim tzarech lepascham la'ayin b'chol os im lo nirkav kiven she'asui lehisrakev ulevalos ba'orech hayamim. He says, what do you need to do, though? The least you need to do, though, is to open it up and look to make sure that there aren't any letters that began to deteriorate, because that's really the only problem that you're going to have. Once the letters are already in place, once the mezuzahs were written and they were, you know, and I guess you would say checked once, right? So the sofer made sure everything that's supposed to be there is there. So the only thing a lame person would notice afterwards is if something does not look the way it should. Meaning you can usually see that there's a scratch here, a scratch there, or something is bleeding or something like that, right? But to have to check every single crown and every single little leg, right? So the Chassam Sofer is saying you don't need to do that. That's not necessary. You don't need a bucky to be able to do that. Any lay person that knows how to, I would say, read Hebrew, but maybe you don't even have to know how to read Hebrew. You just have to know to be able to see, look letter by letter, and make sure that every letter is there and that nothing looks nothing looks bad or anything like that. And that seems to be all the takana. And I don't think anybody argues on the Chassam Sofer. That's what is required there. So the major cost and expense of bringing it into a sofer, so it should be done once, meaning every mezuzah should be checked once. Not every mezuzah is written kosher. Even good-looking mezuzahs have problems, right? They should be checked at least once. But once they've already been confirmed to be okay, to go back every 3.5 years and bring them to the sofer to have them check, or to call mezuzah and more to come and have them all checked, so that's really not required. That's really not necessary based on this Chassam Sofer. So that's on the daf of Shulchan Aruch. Now beyond that, off the daf of Shulchan Aruch is two haros on this. Number one is from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So again, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right, taking a careful look, making sure we get all the chaps of Rav Chaim Kanievsky on this during his shloshim. So in the Maseches Mezuzah, right, he really has two commentaries on Hilchos Mezuzah. One of them is a running commentary along Shulchan Aruch, and the other one is a more broader commentary that he has in the Abraisa of the Laws of Mezuzah, called Maseches Mezuzos. So he quotes here in Ayin, on page 8, so he says, right, this idea, it's a little bit of a strange number to say twice every 7 years, or twice every 50 years, so he says it means once every 3.5 years. That's really what it means, and he brings the proof from the fact that that if you look in Maseches Mezuzah, the term used there is Achas L'Chaf Hei Shana. If you at the very top of the page, that's what it says there. Once every 25 years. So therefore, Rav Chaim says that must be what it means by mezuzah as well. It means once every 3.5 years, right? Dizman habedika echad l'chafei shana v'im kain, right? The underlined part, hu adin b'shel yachid l'gimel echad l'gimel shanim umechza Really, it would be every 3.5 years. And I'm not sure if I know Simon Ayin Bey is not sure what he's referring to there. And then he goes on and says, and therefore, because that's part of the mitzvah, you don't really require another bracha. But if there was a long break, so then it's mistabrit tzarech bracha, that you would require a bracha. And then he adds in at the bottom here that everything really should require the same check. Ayin bebiur shekasavnu mishum she'ein lo cheskas kashrus. So here he goes. V'od yesh lefarish mishum shechem morida matzui shemiskalkeles al yedei ha'orada. That he says that any time, and this, I never thought this was a halacha. I mean, people will call me and say, hi, we're moving. Can we have our mezuzahs checked? So I always assume that that's just a good time to have your mezuzahs checked because you're moving them from place to place and they'll probably be down for a little while anyways. So you may as well take that opportunity to check the mezuzahs. But apparently, there's actually a real inyan to have it checked, says Rav Chaim, because it loses its cheskas kashrus when you bring it down, when you take it down. I mean, the chazaka is that mezuzah is kosher in that place. But once you take it down and move it to someplace else, so it loses its chazaka, and that's why it really should be checked every time it gets moved to be put someplace else. So I thought that was an interesting ha'ara.
Well, also, when you put it up in your new house, you're going to be saying a new bracha.
Oh, in the new house, you would be. The question is if in the old house, meaning if you just take it down to check and then you put it back up, so then it would not require a new bracha because, as actually the Agur Ba'alecha spells out, because that's really considered to be that's part of the mitzvah.
In the case that somebody is moving, checking it could avoid saying bracha lebatala. Presumably, if you're putting up mezuzahs in their
puzzle. Anytime you're putting up mezuzah in its puzzle, right? So putting up a mezuzah that's puzzle, the bracha levatela might be the least of your problems. The bigger problem is that you now have a puzzle mezuzah on your door. But he said, why do we not have to check every moment that the mezuzah is there? Was it as a chazaka, right? It was there before, it's there now. It was written kasher before, it's still going to be kasher now. But once you've moved it, so that uproots its chazaka. It's interesting. I'm having trouble where exactly his makor is for that. Meaning, I would say the chazaka is not on the mezuzah in that spot. I would say it's on the scroll, right? But anyways, that's what he says, that there is an inyan to have your mezuzahs checked in between moves before it being put up in a new house. Now the Agur Ba'alecha then quotes the major. This is really the big issue when it comes to this halacha of checking mezuzos, and that is what about bizman hazeh? Meaning, do you really need to check them all the time? Especially if we now have climate controlled homes where everything seems to be intact. So if we take a look here in the Agur Ba'alecha, so he quotes with Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Apparently, was the big makel here, right? He says that mezuzos that are placed in a glass case and don't touch the wall don't require bedika b'chol gimel shanu mechza every 3.5 years. Why not? Because you could see it the entire time that it's there and that it's fine and nothing's happened to it and therefore it's okay. He says maybe that was only if it's totally clear see-through and you could rely on that and he relies on that based on that Rashi that the bedika is really to make sure that it didn't decay and that it wasn't stolen, and that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. Right? He says why exactly does Rashi say that if you check that it didn't decay you also know that it wasn't stolen? I'm not sure you have to be meduyik that way, but that's what he says. Right, the concern of it being decayed is when you didn't put it in a case, and the concern of it being stolen is when you did put it in a case. But fine, that's what Shlomo Zalman says. And actually, he says as well, Kasu v'shem Rav Yashiv lahakel kishanartik atum, that when the nartik is sealed, right? Atum means sealed, Sheldon.
Atum,
the end of that paragraph, sealed, right, okay. So, however, Kaniska, he says, I have a problem, they had glass They had what's it called? They had cases during the time of Chazal, and yet they said Gamizman Gemara, and until this point, nobody said you should not you don't really have to check because the mezuzahs are safe. But Lafi Anias Daisi Kasha LaHakel Bazek Keneged Stima Saposkim, and he says, in my opinion, it's a little hard to rely on that against the overwhelming the silence of other poskim. Meaning, it took until now to say that maybe they don't need to be checked because they're kept safe. You know, mezuzahs have been in cases for many centuries already. I'm not sure why it becomes an issue now. And then he adds in, but Rishon Zalman is the big makel. Personally, I tell people, I'm now actually getting people that had their mezuzah checked 3.5 years ago, now that I've been in this business a while. And I've told them, that you could certainly rely on the Chasam Sofer if you need to, perhaps with... what's it called with ones indoors, you should be Yotze Rashi by looking at them, maybe take, making sure that they're all there. It does happen that mezuzahs disappear, right? This happened, the shul I went to once upon a time in Middletown, Pennsylvania, and for some reason I looked at the mezuzah on the front door to the whole shul, and it was missing. The mezuzah was missing. It just fell out at some point, right? So those things happen. So it should be checked to make sure that they're still there, but the full checking of opening them up and examining every letter inside, so that really does not have to be as often. Now, in Yud Beis, he does point out that the Aruch HaShulchan says that nowadays that the ink has become shadiyo chalash. The ink is weaker than it was in the past. So I think this is the reality. They used to, nowadays are, the ink comes from gall nuts, and it's like a dye. In the old days, it came from coal. So the bad news is now, so it's easier to write with the stuff today. The bad news is that it does lose it after a while. Meaning, it does not last forever. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out in Hilchos Tefillin, there is actually, it doesn't require checking. The Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't need to be checked so long as they're used regularly. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that nowadays, where we don't use the same type of ink in the past, it does begin to decay somewhat, and therefore it should need to be checked every once in a while. I checked today. I thought he had said every 15 years. I checked today. It doesn't actually say 15 years, but every once in a while, I think that 15 years for tefillin is an appropriate amount. So it says it would be the same concern with mezuzos, that if you really just rely on Rishon Zalman, so you do need to make sure it doesn't decay after a while. And truth is, other rooms are... different rooms are different, are going to have different issues. Outside, inside, in the sun, out of the sun, right? There are different issues. So they do need to be maintained, I think. Every 3.5 years, they should be certainly looked at to make sure that everything is still there. Open them up and see to make sure that there hasn't been any decay or anything like that. But the idea that you need to call the sofer in to have him examine every single letter and every single tag, so the Phineas Dicey, I think Rishon Zalman makes a lot of sense and is what to rely on. Now, the last two pieces, maybe we'll save for next week. There's a tshuva here from the Shevet HaLevi, where he discusses what happens if it turns out that your mezuzos were pasul. Meaning all of a sudden you go through a check and look at that, they've been pasul all these years. Not just because a letter touched another one, but because the wrong word was put in there or something like that. So what did that do with your previous life, or tefillin, that all of a sudden now is pasul? What does that mean for the tefillin you've been wearing all these years? So we'll, I guess, pick up with that in Mir Seshem next week. Yes, Sheldon?
So when I got bit by the dog, someone suggested to me I should check my mezuzahs. Is that a thing?
So it is a thing. It is definitely a thing. What's it called? The Agra Ba'alecha does quote Makaros for that on the next page after this. So. Okay, but again, what does checking mean? Checking does not mean, checking could mean making sure they're all there and things like that.
Yeah,
stealing my house.
Yep, all right.
Okay, all right. So, Erev Tov, everybody. Oh, there we are at the top here. No, open. Okay. All right, Yasha Koach, good evening. Sorry for the late start, although we might have to really move to 8:30 pretty soon anyways, but we'll follow this accordingly. Okay, have a good evening.